We shall roll, as only we can roll. Oh. All right. Amen. Nice weather, isn't it? Aren't you happy? Happy. Leah, go on Facebook and make sure we're live, please. Good. Okay. Well, I always like to check it. All right, let us begin. We'll begin with a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to be here in a special way as only He can be. Peter, would you ask God's blessing on the study tonight, please?
Heavenly Father, we just come before Your throne of mercy and grace, asking Your presence to be here. Teach us, lead us, guide us all Your ways. We praise You, we love You, we thank You for all the blessings You pour out on us, we thank You for the things You give us, and the things You take away.
Amen. Let's finish the first part of chapter 1, shall we? We've been on it long enough, have we not? Amen. We've been discussing this problem with the way some people believe about predestination. The biggest fact in understanding anything about theology, anything about the Word of God, is to understand God, of course, right? And so when we understand God, then we understand we are created in the image of God. What is the greatest part of us being created in the image of God? Yes, Peter was telling Maureen. Yeah, free moral choice. What's that?
And then she answered it.
Yeah, free moral choice. That is the greatest part of our imagery or our image of God. Is free moral choice. We aren't eternal in the flesh, correct? What is eternal? The soul and the spirit. That part is eternal, but remember God, all three manifestations of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they're all eternal. We have three parts of our being, and that is flesh, soul, and spirit, correct? All right? But we only have two of them that are eternal. So forget eternity. All right? Free moral choice is the only part that God gave of Himself to us in its entirety. In its entirety. So when you understand that, then you got to understand Romans 8:28. Anybody know what Romans 8:28 says? Huh? Shall I look at it? Well, that's the Bible. Romans 8:28 is the Bible. We're on page 18 in the middle. Romans 8:28. You all know what that verse is. Yes. Yes. We quote that all the time, don't we? And of course, the King James says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Okay? Love God and who are called according to his purpose. So we know that the big problem when you have predestination, the huge problem is that God calls us. And nobody comes to the Father except he calls us. So what they say is that he's only calling those he knows will accept. Wrong. Who's he calling? Everyone. Everyone. Every single person ever born is called to repentance. The Bible states that we're called to repentance. So everybody gets called. So the difference is those who say yes and those who say no. Right? Anybody know anybody who says no all the time? Oh yeah, so do I. Okay? So even though everything works out together for good to those who are called of God, who love God and are called of him, God does not take away free moral choice. Everything happens to us. Everything that happens to us is not necessarily God. Right? There can be four ways that things happen to us, correct? One of them's God. Yeah. Okay? But we know he allows everything to happen. What's another way? Our own, the devil. That's a second way. What's another way?
Our own choices.
Our own choices. And the third one is the world we live in. The fourth one is the world we live in. So those things can happen to us. When I'm not speeding, right? When I'm not speeding and I'm going down the highway and I get stopped anyway, that has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with the devil. It's the world in which I live. Okay? The world in which I live. So God in his infinite wisdom chooses for you and I to work everything out for our good. Now, is that immediate? What do you need? Let me look. Excuse me. Let me look. All right. All right, let me look here. Quickly. All right. There's our website. Yes, we are. Live. Yeah, we're on Facebook. Yeah. That's why I have to look. I'm sorry. All right. Did you go to our webpage and click on the Facebook button?
Yeah.
Well, it might not be working.
Well, it's not working.
I don't know. It might not be working. Okay. So, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Correct. Our problem is how? Right? Because we want all things to work together for good immediately. Right? Excuse me. I did not give Sir James our notes. So I have to give Sir James our notes. I am sorry, Sir James. Huh?
You want me to come with something?
I'm going to find all that you're supposed to have here. Just let me find them. Okay, 14. I got to find them here. All right. That's not right. All right, here. Assurance of salvation. You need those. That's good. And then over here is, where's the rest of these? Did I leave them in the office? All right, let me go look. I'll go look for the rest of them. Hang on. You guys can talk amongst yourselves and teach each other. Yeah, you can teach. Yeah, you guys can teach. Peter will teach. So where? I know I have them, but I don't can't find them. Wouldn't you know it? Tonight has been wonderful. I have lost my head. That does not even deserve a response. Hey, maybe I've got them here. Oh, yes, yes. Right, here we go. Here we go. See, I'm not totally wrong. 15 and 16, 17 and 18, Sir James. 17 and 18, and then 20. Let's see, 19 and 20. And 21 and 22, which is right here. Do you have everything? What do you need? What's the last one you have? 14? All right, 15, 16. I'll give you that one. 17 and 18, right here. 17 and 18, right there. All right, and then you need this one here, that one, and this one. What's that one? Yeah, there you go. All right, sorry about that. Everybody has all the notes now? Good enough. All right, so, What's our problem with everything working out for good? Yes, we want it right now. Now, we know that everything will work out for good when the rapture takes place, right? Because we're out of here. Yeah, we're out of here. So we're gone. We're in glory. So we don't worry about anything else, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? What did Jesus say about worrying? About these things here and now. Yeah. He said, look at the lilies of the valley. Right? They neither toil. They don't do anything. They don't buy. They don't sell. They don't do anything. And yet Solomon in all his glory could not dress as they do. Right? So we get all bent out of shape. Even though it says, see? So Romans 8:29 is simply continuing to develop. I put it right there in your note. The truth that God is for man and has predestined that those who have come to him for salvation will be saved to the uttermost. Okay? Now, the big problem, I'll go and repeat it again. The big problem is the word call. Because the Bible says that he has chosen us and called us. But what they don't understand is the call goes out to everyone. All breathing souls are called. They don't understand that. So when we understand these verses in the 8th chapter of Romans, which is an incredible chapter, didn't we go through the book of Romans here? Some time ago? Yes, we did. Some time ago we went through the book of Romans. It probably took us 3 or 4 years, Joel, you know?
Before my time.
So the 8th chapter of Romans causes a whole lot of confusions because they separate what it says from who God is. I can't separate the Word of God from who God is. I can't. When I do, I get into trouble. That's where heresy comes in. I must understand the Word of God in the reflection of who God is. When I do that, then I don't get confused. See? So these verses in the 8th chapter of Romans, I love the 8th chapter of Romans, because what it does, it gives me assurance. That great assurance, as I put in your notes, that God is working out in me to bring me into a complete stature of the Lord Jesus Christ so that I'm like him. Joel, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, which we will study in the future, but we're going to look at it now.
And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
Wow. I love this book of Ephesians. The 14th verse is the big problem we have today. Because most people sitting in the pew, unfortunately, are children. What would have happened to you, I'll use Maureen. What would have happened, Maureen, if when Emily was a baby, you had only given her baby food until now?
She'd never grow.
If she had grown, it would not have been correctly.
Correct.
Right? You can't keep, you know, as much as Jonathan would have loved to have breastfed forever, Leah had to stop him. Because it is not, he's got to have more than just milk.
Substance.
Correct? And if he doesn't, you've got three boys?
Four.
Four boys. Yeah, four boys. If all you had ever done is given them milk their entire lives, and they're big boys, you've got some big boys.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. If all they got was liquid diet, they would never develop and never grow.
They need substance.
Yeah. Have any of you watched, is it boxing that does it? Professional boxing? They eat a gigantic meal before the fight. Isn't it boxing?
No.
It's one of the major sports. They eat a gigantic meal before the event.
Bicycling.
If boxing did it, they'd barf.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's bicycling.
It might be bicycling. But it's not, what they're eating is not, you know, ensure.
No.
No, it's something substantial. This is what happens. This is why two things are vitally important for the Christian. Number one, the reading and studying of the Word of God for ourselves. And number two, the attendance in the house of God where we hear and discuss the Word of God together. That's what causes us to go from pablum to steak. Okay? And now we have the disastrous entity called the internet, where anybody can put anything on there and automatically people start thinking it's okay. I was talking to somebody just on Monday. And I'm aficionado of cars. I love cars. So they're talking to me and said, did you know that Ford is bringing back the retro F-100? No, it's not. But the internet said it was. Today, the internet said that who is dead?
No. They were just showed a video of Prince...
Harry?
King Charles?
Not Harry, but his brother, Edward.
And
Edward was crying. So I just said, but they didn't say why.
Yeah. people have been dead. You go on Facebook and people are dead that aren't dead. So you have to look and see if they're really dead or not. And so I said to this individual that we were talking about, I said, he said, I'll send you the videos. I said, don't bother. Because 90% of everything that's on the internet is just about, it's got to be verified. It's got to be verified. And when it comes to the Word of God, we've got the devil behind it. Now, what does the next verse say? It says, verse 14, the end. Carried about by every wind of doctrine, human cunning, craftiness, deceitful schemes. You send me $100, God will give you $1,000. How many have ever heard that one? Right? People want to say that we can control each other by what we say. No, we can't. The Bible never says that. The Bible never says that anywhere. What I say and what you say to me can only affect me if I let it affect me. Now, what you say to somebody else about me may turn their opinion about me, and that could have disastrous effect. That's called gossip. And we know that's wrong, right? Okay? But if you say, Pierre, you're stupid, that doesn't bother me a bit. I know I'm stupid, so it doesn't bother me if you say I am. Say? I know you do. That's why I use it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But all my life, I have been told from the time I was in boarding school until recently, that I can't sing. So I don't sing. I sing anyway. I don't care if people think I can't sing. I don't sing. I sing. I live stream it. I don't give a flying rip. What they say about me can only affect me if I let it affect me. Does that make sense? See? I mean, we know that not everybody is as handsome or as pretty as everybody else, right? But if someone says, you're ugly, it doesn't really matter. My son came home and taught me the cadence in the military. U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi. You ugly, you ugly. Your mama say you ugly. Yeah, and you know, right? And you can say that. You can say that all you want, and it won't bother you unless you let it bother you. Amen? Who controls my brain? Exactly. And when you're saved, it's you 100%. You and the Holy Ghost. Right? The devil cannot control the brain of a saved person. He can influence it. He can attack it. He can put rotten thoughts in it. He can do all that. But if I don't accept what he says, this is no value. Right? Yeah, I was in a store, and never had happened to me before. Something real nice, and this was back before cameras and before all that stuff. And a thought came to me: you could just put that in your pocket; nobody'd know the difference. And that had no effect on me. Zippo, zero, nothing. So we have to understand that through the reading of the Word and through our discussion of the Word together and through our listening of the Word, we grow. Speaking the truth in love. Does that mean it will always be positive?
No.
Right? In fact, the Bible says that we're to identify if you see your brother in a fault. What does he say? You go to him in love, and if he accepts you, you've won a brother. You see him in a fault, you go to him. That's what he's talking about here. Speaking the truth in love. What was that, Jenny?
Accountability.
Yeah, accountability. Right? It's just like the human body. Is every part of your body accountable to every other part of your body?
Just about.
It sure is. Just try to remove one part that you don't think's accountable and see what happens. Right? Even though it might be insignificant. Right?
Yeah, in the same breath, if you're injure part of your body, other parts of your body take over to
hold that part. And where does, when you injure yourself, anybody ever hit their finger with a hammer?
No.
Huh?
Yes.
Have you done it, Maureen?
Yes.
Yeah. Where'd the sound come from? The finger didn't say a thing, did it?
Not a word.
No, not a word. It came right out of the mouth. Curious, isn't it? The finger's what got hurt, not the mouth. Right? Now, if you bite your tongue, anybody ever done that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, now. It comes out, well, that happens here. So that makes sense. Speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto Him who is the head, unto Christ. Now, we're going to deal with this a little bit more. All right, any questions about that first part before we get into 15 through 23? Yes?
So when you said the stature of the fullness of Christ, what does that mean, the fullness of Christ?
So we become like Jesus.
So he's talking about for us individual?
Yes,
individual,
yes, yes.
Not as a church, as a
people? No, individually. Xiaoyang, the church can't become like Christ if the individual members aren't like Christ. Right? The church can't look like Christ if none of us look like Christ. Right?
I thought he was talking about the church because he was talking about attaining to the unity, and then the body.
What's he say here? From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow up in the fullness of itself in love. So that's talking about the body of Christ. But it's also talking about us individually.
So it's both?
Yes, it's both. The fullness of Christ, the stature, until we all attain to the unity of the flesh, verse 13, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Who attains to the knowledge of the Son of God? The individuals that make up the church, right? Right? Okay? To mature manhood. That's not the body, that's the individual. Or mature womanhood. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's talking about you and me individually. Now, when that's working properly, then the whole body knit together will work properly. Have you ever gone to a church where there was a lot of infighting? I've pastored one. It was not fun. It was not fun. And it's funny, it had a bad reputation in the community. Because believe you me, the devil knows how to broadcast what is wrong with us. Right? That's why we can't do it. Because the devil knows how to do it. All right, any other questions? Yes, Xiaoyang. Good.
So the verse before that, when he was saying that when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men.
Yeah.
So when did that happen? Was it like a...
It happened between...
Resurrected or?
It happened between his death and his resurrection. 3 days and three nights. That's when it happened.
Okay.
Okay, because we know when he ascended, when were the graves opened?
When he died.
When at what point of his death were the graves opened?
When
he said it is finished. Uh-huh. Okay. We don't see any graves being opened. We don't see anybody else ascending at his ascension, right, Xiaoyang? It was only him. That's it. The angels didn't come down, and just like you saw these million people go up, so in like manner these million people will come back. No, didn't say that. Just as you saw him go up, in like manner he will come back. See?
So when he died, when he said it is finished, all the people that died in Christ.
We don't know. We think yes.
Graves opened.
We think yes. We think yes. Because a new age is starting. Right?
Well, how do you give gifts to men? Like,
How does he do it? Very easily.
How did he give gifts to men? Because like at that time, even his disciples were not fully convinced that he's going to...
No, but how about 50 days later?
Acts.
Yeah. Acts 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when he gave gifts. Remember, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Right? So they went from the ascension, and they had to broadcast it to some people because there was only 11 of them. Right? And then 12th when Matthias was elected. So that's all, and yet there were 120 in the upper room. That's 10 times as many. So they had to drag some people with them, didn't they? Take some people with them. And they went to the upper room, and they stayed there until the Holy Ghost was poured out. And they were different when they came out. Right? Before Pentecost, Peter is saying, I don't know him. After Pentecost, he's saying, you crucified him. Before Pentecost, he doesn't want to be counted with Jesus. Leave me out of this. And with vulgar language and swearing and probably taking God's name in vain, he said, I don't know him. Boy, but on the day of Pentecost, he looked right at the Pharisees and he said, you guys killed him. And he rose from the dead. He and John are going up to the temple. A few days later, silver and gold we don't have, but what we got in the upper room we give you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Stand up and walk. And he goes into the temple, jumping and shouting and praising God, the first Pentecostal. Yeah. They got gifts. Oh boy, they got gifts.
When they left the upper room, they were witnessing to everybody in the street.
Yeah.
Another language.
Yeah. 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 5,000 get saved that day. 5,000 get saved. There's never been a massive crusade in my lifetime and in church history, I don't believe, where 5,000 have gotten saved in one sitting, in one altar call. That's a lot of people. And then a few days later, 3,000 more get saved. So in the first week of the church, you have 8,000 men. That's all. They're men getting saved. We don't know how many else came, but we know the culture. The culture was, what I do, you're going to do if you're my wife. That's what the culture was. Does that help? Okay. All right, lesson 3. Praise. Ephesians 5. 1, 15 through 23. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Debbie.
For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
This is one incredible portion of the Word of God. I mean, it's just something else. Keep in mind, number one, I put it in there. I put it in bold letters, connecting words. Connecting words in the Word of God are vitally important. Why?
Because Because it refers to what was said before.
Correct. Why? Remember, this is a letter that was written.
For continuity.
Yeah, there were no verses. There were no verses. There weren't verses 13, 14, 15, 16. There were no chapter 1. Didn't exist. It was a letter. Anybody here ever written a letter where you said chapter 1 and you wrote something, then you said chapter 2? And you wrote one sentence, that's verse 1, second sentence, verse 2, third sentence, verse 3. Anybody ever do that? No, they didn't do it then either. So connecting words are vitally, vitally important because they give us clues to how the passage and the verses relate to each other. So what does "for this reason" mean in verse 15? And what does it say to you? I'll let you think on that. Hopefully you'll write it in. Did anybody write it in yet? You can go ahead in the notes. That's why I give them to you ahead of time if you want. I don't care. Okay?
It connects what he said before that.
Okay, so you have to... so you have to go back to what he said before, correct? Yeah, you have to study that again. That's what I love about studying the Word of God, because you'll come across one verse and you'll say, "What in the world?" And then you go back and you research. Anybody ever done that? Where what you're reading today in your devotions causes you to have to research something else?
Yes.
Happens all the time, doesn't it? See? He deals here with faith in verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards the saints, it's for this reason that I'm going to keep praying for you, right? Faith. Now, faith is not a mental state or a state of belief, mental state of belief in some doctrine. It's a moral attitude of faithfulness. And that's what we forget when it comes to faith. If you read the greatest faith chapter in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find that the reason they have faith is because they acted a certain way. Right? They didn't just say, "I have faith." They acted out their faith. There was an attitude of action that followed. An attitude that followed, and it always was a result of a personal surrender to God. That's why the verse, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God," is so important, because faith is only activated when I'm surrendered completely to God. Now, the sister word is the word "believe." Same thing, right? How do I know a person believes the Word of God? Huh? Yes, by his actions. Right? If someone says to you, like a situation that I dealt with not too long ago, I'll be dealing with it again. The commandment, honor your father and your mother. And this individual doesn't honor his mother and father, never did as long as I've known him. And yet, if I were to ask him, he'll say, "Oh, I believe that." Does he?
No.
You see, people will say, "Well, I believe lying is sin." And then they keep on lying. They don't believe it. Huh?
And they cheat on their taxes.
Yeah, they don't believe it. Yeah. So keep in mind, wherever someone says, "I have faith," or "we need to have faith," it's always talking about an action noun. Faith is a noun, but it's an action noun. You can't have faith and demonstrate faith unless there's action that follows it. Believe is a verb. But you cannot believe something if you don't act on it. We believe that the people that built this church and put the rafters up, did it in such a way that it will not fall in on top of us. Right? We believe that. You're sitting on a bench. None of you were there when that bench was built. Right? Maybe Caroline was here when it was put in. Were you here when they were put in?
Absolutely.
You watched them put them in?
I wasn't here that day.
Okay. Okay. Even though you were here when they put them in, were you here, Joel, when they put the benches in?
I put some of the sheetrock up.
Over there. Okay. Okay. And it hasn't fallen.
It was right straight to the trusses.
Yeah, it hasn't fallen in.
It was kind of, well.
I believe you knew what you were doing.
They didn't put these in until 2003.
Correct. Okay, so you don't know. In fact, I don't even know where the factory's located that built them. I can find out through the records, but I don't know. I don't know who the people were that made them, but you're sitting in them. And some of you are sitting in the middle between the supports. Leah's in the middle between the supports. Maureen's between the supports. Bonnie's between the supports. Possible between the supports. James is on a support. And Peter and Xiaoying and Debbie and Joel are close to a support. And so is Ginny and Caroline. But we believe that they knew what they were doing. So we're willing to sit on it. Anybody ever fallen on your tailbone when someone's pulled the chair out from under you? Huh?
On the ice, yes.
Has anybody had the chair pulled out from underneath you?
Yes.
I have. Did you hurt yourself, Peter?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fun. But you believe that that's not going to happen tonight. See? In fact, every one of you is leaning back against the back of that pew. Right? In fact, Joel is almost laying against the back of the pew. And he does not know how that was put together. We don't know how this was put together. But we believe that we're not going to all of a sudden, you won't all of a sudden be laying in Debbie's lap. See? Because it's going to hold together. Believe promotes and provokes an action. If it doesn't provoke an action, there's no way you know what the person believes. They can say it all they want, but you can't know it unless you see it in action. Right? Yeah. How many of you have pulled up to a light that's green and you saw one pulling up to the opposite intersection on the right side of you, and it didn't look like they were going to stop? What did you do? You put your foot on the brake, ready to pound it to the ground if you had to, right? Because you did not believe they were going to stop. But if you believe they're going to stop, you just keep right on going like I do. Yeah, God will protect me. I need a new paint job anyway. So let's roll. Hebrews 11:1. Xiaoying, Hebrews 11:1.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
The conviction of things not seen. King James says the evidence of things not seen, which is far more than conviction, right? The assurance of things hoped for. I know they're going to happen. Right? I have faith to believe that the sun will come up tomorrow. Whether I'll see it, I don't know. But I have faith to believe it will come up because it could be cloudy and we won't see it. Right? So what in the world is Paul given thanks for in verses 15 and 16?
He's given thanks for their faith.
Yes. Yes. How do you... Yeah, they have demonstrated their faith, right? Okay, verse 16. He's given thanks, remembering them in his prayers, right? Now, he says he thanks them because of their love, right? Towards all the saints. You know when somebody loves somebody, you know when they don't love somebody. How many know what I'm talking about? Anybody know anybody around here that you know they don't care very much for you? Yeah? I know people that say they care about me, but their actions say otherwise. So in that case, what do you believe?
The actions.
Always the actions. See, why is it important that the truths of question three, that we're going to see in a minute, become heart knowledge and not just head knowledge? What's the difference between heart knowledge and head knowledge?
Emotional versus actual.
Yeah. So one is just, well, I believe, the other promotes action. That puts the belief into practice.
One
right?
is the thinking, the other is putting feet to things.
Correct. Correct. Wisdom and revelation in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the truth of Him. I love that. Revelation of the truth in whom?
No.
In God Himself. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Not just in the Word of God, but in God. There is a difference between my personal devotions when I read the Word of God and my personal communication with God in prayer. They're two different things, correct? Of equal value. Right? Right? And both necessary if I'm going to grow in the Lord. Both are necessary. A lot of people just deal with one of them. In fact, it's a three-legged stool. It's also the attendance of God in God's house is the third leg of the stool. They all go together and they make the stool stand up. That's why some people fall over so easy. Because they got a leg missing. Right? He says here that the ability not to learn, but also to teach the revealed secrets to others in verse 17. The spirit of wisdom and of revelation of the knowledge of Him. I need wisdom. How many need wisdom? More every day, right? More every day. So in verse 17 he says no, and I identified it there for you. Real, deep, full of knowledge as distinct from awareness or superficial acquaintance. Now, how many of you have been asked, do you know so-and-so? Mm-hmm. And you answer, I am acquainted. I've heard of them, but I don't know them. What's the difference? That's right. You haven't spent time with them. You don't know them intimately. Bible knowledge is intimate relationship as opposed to just a grasp of facts. I have no illusions that I know more about the Word of God than some people that have PhDs in Bible doctrine and PhDs in ministry. I have no illusion. But some of them really act dumb. Some of them really act dumb.
Because it's all the way up here.
Yeah. And also, not just that, but because of what we read previously, that they are deceitful schemes. Back in verse 14 of chapter 4. See, craftiness and deceitful schemes. Get money quick, rich. Get rich. It's amazing to me, there is nobody on planet Earth sleeping in a $30 million home that sleeps any better than I do in my $130,000 home. Right?
Well, you don't know that until you've been there.
Yeah. I've been in real fancy places. I've been in resorts where presidents have stayed.
Yeah, but it's a matter of mind. It's a matter of I'm comfortable where I am and I'm happy where I am.
Yeah.
You know, somebody in their $30 million home, that may be the comfort it that they desire and to be happy.
Yeah.
So I think it's all a matter of mind.
Yes, it's all your perspective. We talk about that a lot, right? Perspective and perception. Perception, right? So, think about what it means to have the eyes of your heart enlightened. How might this help you to more fully know your hope, inheritance, and powers in verses 18 through 19? Yes, James.
Yeah, you demonstrate the action of faith when you talk about the bench or the pew. You say faith that somebody will exercise if you say I'm going to sit in the pew and I will not fall.
Yeah.
But I look at it differently, because if you look at Hebrews 11:1, it says faith is the source of things hoped for.
Yeah.
And the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
So if I see that there's a pew, that is not a faith. I think I'm exercising, my belief.
Yeah.
So faith is something that you don't really see any evidence of. But there's already evidence that there's a pew.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that is not the exercise of faith. If you go to the hospital and you are sick, you go to see the doctor, it's not faith that will make you to say, I will get healed. Because you have something in the hospital that will be applied to you that you see.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in Bible days, those that were healed, they had no evidence of anything advancing.
Mm-hmm.
They had no contact of any substance.
Mm-hmm.
But they had, the belief of something that they have not seen.
Yeah.
So that evidence is what we exercise, that we have not seen God, but we believe that there is God. So that is a strong faith that we exercise.
Okay.
We have not seen Him, it is only through the word of God.
Now, I look at it in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
Consider this, James.
Yeah.
I don't feel well. I don't know what's wrong with me. I pray and I believe God to heal me, right? But I go to the doctor and the doctor tells me what I had. Like when I had hepatitis, right? I went to the doctor. Had I not gone to the doctor, I would have never had the opportunity to witness to that doctor and all the interns that were with him.
Okay.
Because they came in and they said to me, I said to them, how long am I going to have to be here? Sunday night, they said, 30 days minimum. You see that man over there? And it was the guy beside me, it was a ward. There were four beds. The guy beside me has had burns on 3/4 of his body. And he just laid there and cried all the time. But the guy that was opposite me, catty corner, was in there with his fourth relapse of hepatitis. And my condition was worse than his, according to the doctors. I said to the doctor, no, I'm leaving here in 7 days. He came back. They took my blood on Saturday. They came back and took my blood. They took my blood morning and night. They came back Sunday morning, took my blood, and came back again and took it again, came back the third time. And I said, no, you can't have it. They said, the problem is the blood with your name on it has no sign that it ever had hepatitis.
Praise God.
Yeah. I said, suck it all out. Take it all. And now the doctor comes in with all that entourage that 7 days previous had laughed at me because I said I'm leaving it in 7 days. Now they're not laughing. And he says to me, we can't find any hepatitis in your body. We don't know what happened. I do. That's like saying sick them to a dog. So you can look at this a million different ways. I can look at it that you get sick and you believe God, He's going to heal you, and you don't go to the doctor. I have no problem with that. And then the other person can get sick, possible can get sick, and he goes to the doctor. The doctor identifies what's wrong and has proof there is proof that I had hepatitis. Documentable medical evidence that I had hepatitis on Saturday. There's documented evidence on Sunday that I never, ever, ever had hepatitis. So that becomes an incredible witness to the Lord. So there's two ways of looking at it. Yeah, I can see this pew, and I know they're going to support me and everything, but I don't know how molecules stick together. Because according to science, there's molecules that make up this wood, correct? They're in there, and they're holding themselves fast together. I don't know how that happens. But I have faith that it's happening. And I have faith that they're not going to get mad at each other and all of a sudden not quit holding hands. Right? And all of a sudden become a liquid. Yeah. So there's two ways of looking at it. See, I grew up in a church that if you ever went to the doctor, it was obvious you had no faith. See? Yeah, I grew up in a church like that. And I grew up in a church where my uncle stood up to preach. And he said, when you have a headache and you take an aspirin, I want you to hold that aspirin up. And I want you to say, oh, you almighty aspirin, yea, you are greater than my God. Yea, I will take thee. And yea, thou will make my headache better. Right from the pulpit he said that. Okay? My parents refused to go to the doctor. My father was diagnosed with a diseased gallbladder in Mexico. We're coming back. I said, Dad, we got to go to the doctor and get that looked at. He says, no, God will take care of that. 2 years later, it burst inside his body. And instead of having it removed laparoscopically, they had to open him up from stem to stern because they had to take his organs out and clean them up because the peritonitis had spread through the whole body. See? So I'm not going to say that my father didn't have enough faith to believe that God could heal the gallbladder. I'm not going to say that. What I am going to say is that God did not heal the gallbladder. I am going to say the gallbladder burst, and I'm going to say my father recovered and was extremely healthy thereafter. Thank you, Jesus. See? So there's different ways to look at it. I've looked at it both ways. I would never know God could heal if I wasn't sick. I would never know what God had healed me of if it weren't for the doctors. Now, grant you, when I couldn't get out of bed on that Sunday morning, and the dorm parent came in and looked at me and said, oh, I was all yellow around my eyes. And I was bleeding in my urine, and I had diarrhea, and I weighed 82 pounds. I was the same size I am now, weighed 82 pounds. And he looked at me and says, there is something wrong. I could have said, wait, let me just stay there and spread the hepatitis to everybody in the dorm. Because it's an infectious disease, right? During the pandemic, I told you, we can't get sick unless God allows it. How many heard me say that? Right? I told you we can't die unless God says we're going to die. How many heard me say that? And yet, I partitioned these pews off. How many remember? It was every other pew you could sit in. You remember, Caroline? I still got the tape that I used. And I still said, wear a mask if you have to. And I stayed over 6 feet away from you at all times. Why? I'm not stupid. Do I have faith? Yes. And I kept sleeping with my wife. That's faith. Because I could have got her sick too. But I didn't. See? So there's many ways to look at it. The whole thing, James, is I'm not going to judge you and say that you don't have faith just because you go to the doctor. Likewise, I'm not going to say, if Peter says I'm not going to the doctor, I'm not going to say that Peter has more faith than you. See? I have to act on what I have. Everybody's been given a measure of faith, right? If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Anybody seen that happen?
So, Pastor, like, let me just go quickly. I know the time. What I was saying, you know, God has two ways God has a permissive way and God has a proper way. There are certain times you can even pray for anything if God says that it is perfection, that it will have to happen. You can offer so many prayers, you can have faith, but once God says that is what will happen, it will happen. So we can have faith, but we may not know what God wants to do. Mm-hmm. Someone can be sick, and you pray over the person, your faith, and maybe the faith of that person, the person will be healed. You can go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. But when God says, this one will not happen, I don't care how you go to the hospital, I don't care how you exercise that faith in you, when it is God's will, it will happen.
Catherine Coleman was used of God to heal hundreds of people. And she died sick. Go figure. That's a question you want to ask God later on. Right? There's other great men of God that had prayed and many people were healed, and they just went to bed one night and didn't wake up in the morning. Not sick at all. See? I can't understand all that. So therefore, I'm not going to try. I'm smart enough to know my mental limitations. And I'm not even going to try to figure it out because I blow a fuse every single time.
That's why it's always good to say, Lord, your will be done.
Yes.
When my father was sick, people would say to him, literally, you have sin in your life.
Yeah.
That's why you're sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course my dad knew that he had an up-to-date account with the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
And we believed that God was going to heal him.
Yeah. Had all his gifts bought, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Lord took him home.
Yeah.
But the way my mom handled it was, she says, well, you know, we don't understand, but down the road, God sees ahead.
Yeah.
And God sees what might have happened.
Yeah, we had to, she mourned for 10 years. Christmas was horrible. I remember when I met her. Christmas was horrible. And it always bothered me that I never could say, God never gave me the words to say that would solve everything. Until one day I said to her, God knew what was ahead. And he decided to take Ernest now. It's his choice. It's not my choice. As hard as it is. What? My brother, 39 years old. Her brother, 39 years old. Her father, 46 years old. Her mother, 65. Her sister, 60. All gone. Her brother, 50. Huh? 52. Gone. I don't know. Did they not have faith? I'm not going to say that. Right? Remember what I said about the difference between judging? You know, the what is not judging. The why is judging. I have no right to try to figure out why God took my brother. No right. Yes.
Isaiah 57:1.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart.
Yeah.
Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil.
Yep. Taken away from evil. Yep. Yeah. Well, let's face it. Let's face it. If you had have gone to heaven, December 22nd, if you, what time?
In the evening.
In the evening of December 22nd. Had you gone to heaven on December 23rd, and God gave you the right, and you had said to Ernest, you've got a choice. Well, had God said to Ernest, you've got a choice. You can go back or you can stay. What would he have chosen?
Stay.
There's not a one in heaven that's going to choose to come back. Not a one.
No, because their body was changed to glory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Any other questions? Amen. Amen. We want to look to God in prayer.